that for some folks, it is going to be too late. Some people going to be like Judas, not receive another chance. And some of us going to be like Peter and receive another chance. But there's one thing that has rest assured, that the word tells us that he has already prayed. You don't have to live like you live. Why? Because he has already prayed. You don't have to search out things as hard as you search out certain things. Why? Because he has already prayed. You ain't got to put up with that mess. Why?
Is evidence that we're running. Hope you enjoy our pastor's message. I'm Brother Michael Williams. Thank you for listening. We pray you were enlightened spiritually by our radio broadcast. If you would like a copy of our service, or support us by donation, write us at Bethany Ministry Center, P.O. Box 6764, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307, or call us at 318-561-0064 and leave a message. Join us next Saturday at 12:15 p.m.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Declare recovery, restoration, and reconciliation. Hallelujah. How's it going to happen? It's going to happen by divine instruction, divine opportunity, and divine appointments. And we thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for the appointments that are ordained by the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you the glory and the praise. And we've been talking about making God your only source. Not your number one source. I'm not talking about number one, because that implies there's a two, three, four, and a five. I'm talking about making him your only source. Amen. And so all the while we're standing in faith and being doers of the word, we have to be careful that we maintain our love walk. Hallelujah. So today we're going to take the love checkup. Amen. Because faith won't work without love. So today we're going to take a love checkup. We're going to check your love pulse and see how strong it is or how weak it is. But we're going to find out today how you're doing in your love walk. Amen? Checkups are a way that we maintain good health by catching things that are wrong early. Amen? Checkups provide early diagnosis of potential problems and allow us to correct things and restore order before they get out of hand. You don't want strife running amok in your life. You don't want unforgiveness in your heart to get a stronghold in you. You don't want bitterness to settle down in your spirit. So we're going to check your love walk out today. Amen. We're going to look at love, and we're going to refresh ourselves in the love of God today. Amen. Because we can have all the faith to move mountains, but if we don't have love, we ain't got nothing. Amen. If we're not loving each other and caring about each other and loving God and serving him, then we're just missing the mark. So we are standing in faith. Let me talk to you just for a minute about your stand of faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. The Amplified Bible says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. So we should live by faith, and we should stand in faith and be firm in faith. That's your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. So the Bible says that we're to stand in our faith. Amen. We should take a strong stand in faith and not be moved out of faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, not that we have dominion over you or lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy. Listen to this. For in your faith, in your strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through him we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, you stand firm. So he's saying, stand firm in this conviction here that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal life. You got to stand firm in that conviction that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Messiah. He is the one that made atonement for our sins. Don't be moved from that conviction. Stand firm in your faith that Jesus is Lord. Praise God. But all the while we're standing firm in faith, we have to make sure that we persevere and that we persist and that we are unyielding in our love walk. How many of you know that love and faith go together? You can't have faith without love, and you can't have love without faith. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We're going to get to the checkup here in a minute, but I need to just talk about the love of God here so we can see this real clear. In Romans chapter 8, we're just going to look at one verse there. Verse 38. Let's look at 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is the powerful scripture here, because it says that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That simply means that God loves you and there's not a thing in the world you can do about it. Nothing can separate you from his love. Not even sin can separate you from the love of God. Does God love sin? No, but he loves you in spite of your sin. Amen. God loved us while we were yet sinners. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. Listen at it. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see that God demonstrated his love by giving us Jesus. By sending Jesus to be our Savior, God demonstrated his love. He didn't just tell us that he loved us, he demonstrated it. Amen? Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Romans 5. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. Amen? Now, the Amplified says this. It says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. Hallelujah. So God demonstrated his love for you and me by allowing Jesus to die in our place. Notice that Jesus didn't die for himself. Who did he die for? You know, there wasn't nothing wrong with him, but there was plenty wrong with us. He took our sin so we could have his righteousness. He took our curse so we could have his blessing. He took our deaths so we could have his life. He took our poverty so we could have his abundance. He took our sickness and disease so we could have his health and healing. Oh, the cross was a place of divine exchange. That's why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God to those that believe. Hallelujah. So God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to the cross for us. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 19. Well, let's go back up to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, God has revealed himself to you. Amen. But there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation that God will give to you that will enlighten your understanding, that will open your understanding. You remember after Jesus was raised from the dead and there were two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and Jesus came right up alongside them and started talking to them, and they were talking about the things that had transpired in Jerusalem in these last few days. And Jesus said, what's going on? And they say, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what just happened? Everybody know what happened. And then Jesus began to expound the scriptures. The Bible said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened their understanding that they might see, that they might have revelation, that they might have spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is not possible without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that means flooded with light, that you may know three things, that you might know the hope of his calling, that you'll know why you're here, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, God wants you to have a revelation of why you're here. He also wants you to have a revelation of the provision that he's made available to you while you're here. That you would have revelation of the inheritance that he has made available to the saints. And then the third thing he wants you to understand, and that's the one I was trying to get to. And what is the exceeding greatness? Everybody say exceeding greatness. Y'all know what great is? We're not just talking about great power. We're talking about power that exceeds greatness. We're talking about unlimited power. We're talking about power that surpasses power. It's like when your muscles have muscles. You know, it's one thing to have muscles, but it's another thing when your muscles got muscles. We're talking about God's exceeding great power here. Power that is beyond great. Power that's beyond description. Power that can't be contained. Power that can't be defined. So much power that it have no limits on it. And the Bible says God wants you to have a revelation of that kind of power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us? This power is made available to us who believe. Unlimited, exceeding great power. I don't know how much power it took to save me, but I know it was enough to break all of the devil's strongholds out of my life. I know it was enough to deliver me from sin. I know it was enough to translate me into the kingdom of his dear son. I know it was enough to raise me in the newness of life. I know it was enough to impart eternal life into my spirit. I can't tell you how much it was, but I know it was enough for my salvation. And enough for my eternity that I'll live forever with God. Exceeding great power that he demonstrated. Listen to this. That he demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Where is Jesus now? He's not in the tomb. He's not buried. Where is Jesus right now? He's seated at the right hand of God, the place of authority, the place of honor, the place of glory, the place of victory. He's seated at God's own right hand, far above. Everybody say far above. You see, this thing ain't even close. Far above all what? Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, this power ain't just for this life. This power has been made available to us for the life to come. There is life after death. There is life after death in God. There is death after death if you're not in God. There's life after death with God. There's only death after death out of God. Bible talks about three kinds of death. Physical death, spiritual death, and the second death. It's pointing to man wants to die. Everybody gonna die. It's a fact. God said it. If you wanted to prove God didn't exist, all you had to do is find one person who ain't never died. You can make God out of a lie. We got nobody on earth 200 years old. Hallelujah. You see, God demonstrated his love by giving Jesus to die in your place. That was his love for you. And then he demonstrated his power by raising him from the dead. So I have a demonstration of love and a demonstration of power. When did God demonstrate his great power? When he raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus still alive. Now he's still alive, and that's been over 2,000 years ago. He's still alive. 2,000 years later, he's still sitting on the throne. That's the kind of power God used. Same power that raised him from the dead is the same power keeping him alive. The Bible said death have no more dominion over him. Jesus gave his own testimony in Revelation chapter 1. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. He got the keys. It means he has all authority in heaven and in earth. There ain't nobody greater than Jesus. Y'all go ahead and praise him. There ain't nobody greater than him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So there are only two ways that you can respond to the love and the power of God. You can either reject it or receive it. Amen. When you reject Christ, you're rejecting the love and power of God. When you receive Christ, you're receiving God's love and his power into your life. So when I receive Jesus, I receive the love of God and I receive the power of God. I got his love and his power working in me. Woo! Glory to God. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Oh, so there's a spirit of truth in the world and a spirit of error. Okay, so you can be in error or you can be in truth. What you decide where you're going to be. You decide which spirit is going to operate in you. The spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of error, who is the devil. Look at verse 7. Beloved, now this we're getting ready to get a checkup on our love walk here. Okay? But we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep this morning. We finna skim the surface right now. Okay? Just checking your heartbeat right now. I'm just making sure you're still alive. You know? But we're going to draw some blood here in a little bit. I'm just taking your weight right now. Checking your blood pressure and things. You know, ain't no pain in that. Just check you out, check my blood pressure, check my heart rate out, my pulse rate. See how much I weigh. That's all we finna do with this scripture right now. I'm finna find out how much you weigh. And they telling me thank you. Thank you. Wouldn't that be nice if that was all it was to a checkup? Just go in and get your weight checked. Let them check your heart rate out and everything. All right. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone that's born of God knows God, is a person that loves God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Here it is. He's talking about the demonstration again of love. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So the love walk is necessary. You're going to have to love one another. We are going to have to love one another if we're going to see God's greatest blessings. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. Notice that your love is perfected or brought to maturity by practicing love. You had to practice love, and love works no ill to its neighbor. Love doesn't draw other people into your sin. If you're causing somebody else to sin, you are not walking in love. If you make someone a participator in your sin because of your selfishness, because you're trying to get your need met, you are not walking in love. I just took your weight. That's all. That's all. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Y'all got real quiet, you know, like I gave you some bad report or something. I'm giving you a good report. Telling you to stop sinning and stop being an instrument of sin in other people's lives. Some of y'all are helping other people sin. And some of you fall and pray to other people who want to sin, and they pull you right into their sin with you. Because you have mutual agreement. Let's do it together. You agree not to walk in love, and you forfeit God's blessing. I'm going to tell you, it's nothing but a setup. The devil's setting you up for a failure. Like God brought you up, he can take you down. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what the Bible says. Don't get so high and mighty you think that you can't fall. All right, that's the blood pressure. Some of y'all heart rate start going. I mean, your heart started racing just now. You say, oh, Pastor, talk about me. Pastor, talk about me. You're talking about me. I ain't talking about you. I'm just telling you what the words say. Love works no ill to its neighbor. I mean, love doesn't do anything to harm anybody else. Love don't invite people to sin. Love don't involve other people in sin. If you're going to sin, sin by yourself. When I start walking close, you say, oh, Lord, don't let him call me out. Please, Lord, don't let the gifts be in operation today. Oh, they're working. But that's God reaching out to you. Amen. Let's keep reading because I don't want to spend a lot of time and we ain't got to the checkup yet. To the meat of it. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know ye that you dwell in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we have known and believed. This is the scripture I want to get to. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. God is love, and he that lives in love lives in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he have seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who love God love his brother also. So walking in love is not an option. But when you walk in love, God is walking in you and you are walking in him. Hallelujah. So we thank God that we don't love him. We didn't love him first. He loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. And how did he demonstrate his love? He demonstrated his love by sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And then he demonstrated his great power by raising Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. And so you can receive that love or you can reject it, but I made up my mind, I'm receiving the love. And then when you believe the gospel, God placed this love inside of you. You say, Pastor, how can I love others like God loved me? Because God put his love inside of you. When you believed in Jesus, that love was poured into your heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God placed his love in your heart when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. But many of us don't know how to yield to it or how to walk in the love of God. So therefore, we have to grow and increase in our understanding of the love of God. And as we learn more and more about God, our love walk will grow and increase, and we will experience more and more of the blessing of the Lord. You see, when I got saved, I knew the love of God came in me. Mom and Dad didn't raise us to be prejudiced. I didn't grow up in a prejudiced household. We were taught that everybody equal. God made us all. Not one better than the other. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I noticed that something different came inside of me, that I really had a love for everybody. All of a sudden, I just wanted to love people. Now, I didn't understand it, and sometimes you don't know how to trust that love. But the love that God gives you, you have to grow in understanding. You have to learn about God, and you have to learn who he is and what he likes and what he dislikes. And then as you obey him, your love for him will increase and your love for your fellow man will increase as well. So you can grow and increase in the love of God. Amen. Everybody should be growing in love. In fact, Paul commended the Thessalonians. He said, I'm commending you and I'm bragging on you because your love for each other is abounding. That means there's an overflow love in this church, and your faith groweth exceedingly. So they were increasing in love and growing in faith at the same time, in spite of their difficulty, in spite of their persecution, in spite of their hard times, in spite of all the trouble that they were facing. They were having a tough time. But Paul said, in spite of that, your love and faith keep on growing. So I learned from that. When I saw that day, the Lord showed it to me. See, he'll keep giving you revelation on love. He'll keep giving you revelation on faith. And I remember when I read that, the Lord said, it's possible for you to go through hell and high water and come out stronger. It's possible for you to go through the fire. And I'm going to tell you, have the flood all around you and come out stronger than when you went in. If you'll learn how to trust God and learn how to believe in love. Notice what this scripture says. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. So we have experienced that love and we believe in that love. We have faith in the love of God that it is the right way to go. There's no better way than the love of God. Amen? All right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.